Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Good morning, everybody. Patrick Conley with you here again on the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. And I hope you are all enjoying this increasingly more summer-like weather that we're having and the time that's now, hopefully, if you are a young child, if you are a school-age person, that you are on summer vacation. Parents, too, I would imagine. At least some of you are enjoying this summer vacation as well. And you know what? We're coming up on a great festival in the church. Well, a couple of them, actually. This weekend, first of all, is the celebration of Corpus Christi, the most holy body and blood of Jesus. And what a wonderful thing to celebrate, isn't it? I'm looking forward to paying special and close attention, maybe focusing in even a bit more than usual on the great gift that the Eucharist is to us and how Jesus himself infuses within us his divine life each and every time that we partake of communion, whether that be actually or just by desire. Whatever it is that we are drawn into in this relationship with the Lord, how wonderful it is that he chooses to be so intimate with us that he gives himself to us in and through his sacraments. In some of my theological study, I was reading, and one author that I was reading was making the point, and I thought this was rather profound, that actually in Jesus giving himself to us sacramentally, I know many of us may think that, you know, if only I could be with the disciples, if only I could have been with them to touch Jesus' skin, to look him in the eyes and that sort of thing. And of course, these things are promised to us if we but remain faithful, right? But the author was making the point that when Jesus gives himself to us sacramentally, we are actually invited into an even deeper intimacy in that way than the very disciples themselves had, excepting, of course, that he gave himself sacramentally to them as well in the Last Supper. And that, of course, is what we are commemorating and celebrating this Sunday. So that's coming up next week, Friday. So a week from today is also the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, another wonderful holiday in the church. And it's such a blessing and a joy, speaking specifically as a convert to the Catholic faith, it's such a blessing and a joy to see the great celebrations, the great, just the way that we work through the church calendar and we live the life of Jesus. And there's nary a day goes by where there's not a new thing to be reminded of and to celebrate and to be drawn into closer relationship with the Lord. I hope and I pray that each one of you, as you're listening today, whether it be Friday or on the rebroadcast on Saturday or Sunday, that you would just take a moment to thank God for the wisdom of the liturgical calendar, because it really does draw us closer into relationship with the Lord. Turning now to the show that we have for you today, you know what? We have a true variety show today, and that's nice. I like it. We're going to be changing around topics a bit. First, we're going to talk with Father Peter Williams and a gentleman by the name of Michael Lane about the Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute. And I know many of you listening may well have, you may have familiarity with it. Some of you may actually be involved in it now or graduates of it. Michael is a recent graduate of it himself, so we'll have him on in just a moment. And then we're going to shift gears and we're going to talk a little bit more about specifically women's health. But as I've said before, when we've encountered this topic, men, don't turn off the radio, okay? Don't switch stations, because this is stuff that involves us too. Whether we be husbands or brothers or fathers, we need to know and honor women and their health as well. So we're going to be talking with Jean Stolpelsted, who's the Director of Marriage, Family, and Life within the Archdiocese here, and we're also going to be talking with Veronica Yanchuk, who is directing FEM, or she works for FEM, which is out of New York, but she happens to be in studio with us today. So we're looking forward to this conversation in a couple different ways. So first of all, the Catechetical Institute, and then women's health. So Stick with us. And before we go to a break, though, we want to pause and, as always, commit this show to the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So let's pray together in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. When we come back, we are going to have Father Peter Williams and Michael Lane talking about the Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute. Stay with us. Rediscover.
When you take care of your car will take care of you. Now through July 9th, get $60 by mail on a Firestone Visa prepaid card when you buy a set of four eligible Firestone tires. A claim form is required. The Visa prepaid card is issued by the Bancorp Bank pursuant to a license from Visa USA Incorporated and may be used everywhere Visa debit cards are accepted. The Bancorp Bank, member FDIC. Certain terms and limitations apply. Take care of your car with Firestone tires. Available today at Westside Tire. 763-420-2100.
This season, we all drive a little more, and you can count on the champions of service at Westside Tire in Corcoran. Westside Tire has tires and brakes for your car, truck, SUV, and crossover. Come to Westside Tire for safe driving all summer long. Tires for every vehicle are available today at Westside Tire, just west of 494 off Highway 55 in Corcoran. Call 763-420-2100. Westside Tire. They'll take care of you.
Come with your light and fill up my heart.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. We are going to start off our interview session of the show today talking with a couple of different people who can inform us about the Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute. First of all, we'll start off on the phone. I believe we have Father Peter Williams. Father, are you with us?
I'm here. Good morning.
Excellent. Good morning, Father. It's great to have you with us here on the show this morning. And you are the vice rector over there at St. Paul's Seminary. How are things going over there at the seminary?
Well, it's a joyful season.
Is that because the students are all gone?
You know,
oh, okay, right.
So we get to travel around and sort of share in the kind of... Well, it's an end point, but it's a beginning as well, and just a lot of joy.
Amen. Well, our prayers are definitely with you. Thank you for all your good work that you do over there. Well, tell us a little bit about your role with the Catechetical Institute, Father. What role do you play?
Well, it was about 3.5 years ago where Jeff Cavins took a new position, his own discernment. I think it was good timing for him. He had been so instrumental in kind of the vision from the beginning of the Catechetical Institute. And so I took over as the director from him, but the great constant is Kelly Walquist, who is assistant director, who has been with Jeff from the beginning and is with me in it. She really carries a lot of the energy and the vision. And so I have an opportunity to teach in it and also to kind of behind the scenes think about ways that we can continue to make it better, you know?
Right, yeah. And just in case some of our listeners may not be familiar with what the Catechetical Institute is, can you give us just a brief description of what it is?
Yeah, I can tell you the fruit of it for me is that it helps to make disciples. You know, as a pastor, I was always looking for devout, certainly committed Catholics, but Catholics who I could, if someone was asking questions about the faith or somewhere close on their journey, I could entrust those particular people to disciples in the parish who would feel a certain confidence, enthusiasm to share their faith and to mentor this other person into the faith. So the Catechetical Institute is a two-year program. It meets four different modules that line up with the four different pillars of the catechism. So as you know, the catechism is broken into the creed, and then you have the sacramental life, the moral life, and the life of prayer. And so each week during that module, 14 or 15 times, the particular students gather for a talk, a small group. They have certain readings. The main text, of course, is the Catechism of the Catholic Church. But they get to hear sort of that taught through various professors, various lay people, priests, deacons, who kind of speak about it in a way that, that can help them apply it to their lives, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's and everything that I have ever heard about it, I sat in on one session, but I myself have not been through it yet. But everything I've heard about it is just overwhelmingly positive. People are so enamored with the learning that they get to do about the faith, but also just how they grow in deeper and deeper relationship with the Lord, which is, as you said, Father, all about making disciples. So tell us, this is the big reveal moment. Are you ready, Father? So the big reveal.
Well, I hope so.
So we've got another class, of course, starting this fall. In fact, you have two locations, I understand, coming up this fall, both Mary Mother of the Church in Burnsville and St. Andrews, all the way up there in Elk River. I hear that there's going to be two locations of the CI this fall. And every class has a patron saint. And we want to know, Father, if you can tell us what this incoming class is in the fall, who the patron saint is of that class.
Well, I'm going to leave that to Kelly.
Oh, what?
Because there's a timing to all that.
Well, and, yeah, but, oh.
But you can be assured it will be a model of sanctity. The whole logic of that is so that these students really appreciate that they're in a communion of saints. They're in people who have lived this that we can look to for inspiration, but then there's also intercession. And the other thing, Patrick, I'd add is, part of it is not just learning content, you know, that
right.
that somehow we're I don't know, more self-reliant, competent thinking Catholics. It's actually the transformation that happens, and a big part of that transformation is the particular classmates mm-hmm. that they journey with. Mm-hmm. I mean, many of our students will say that it was the small group, the kind of making themselves vulnerable and learning about the faith with others, that really sparks the kind of deeper part of it. So a patron saint is to reinforce that on many different levels, you know?
Right, right. All right, well, I guess we'll be content with with being waiting a little bit further, Father. But that's good. Stay with us, Father. I'm going to invite into the conversation now. We've got a recent graduate from the Catechetical Institute by the name of Michael Lane. Michael, good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to have you on the show this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, tell us a little bit about how you decided to actually start up with the Catechetical Institute to begin with.
Well, it's kind of a long story that I'll try to make endless. And
we've got a limit here.
Yeah,
on the
I know
show.
We do. I would say most, and Father, you can attest to this too. I'd say that most people who join the Catechetical are encouraged by their parish priest or by graduates of the institute, things of that nature. I came about it in a very indirect way, and maybe more of a direct way. I'll be celebrating, in a way, if you want to call it that, 4 years of my wife's passing coming up in August.
Sorry.
When she died, my faith was shaken.
Mm-hmm.
My resolve was pretty well shaken. We have three children, and I still needed to be a father to them. And at one point I said jokingly to them, I said, I'm your father. I could be a father. Now that I thought about it. And then that thought passed away very quickly. But I did say, well, maybe I could be a deacon. So I started that inquiry, that investigation. And I happened to be at Holy Spirit Catholic Church in St. Paul. And Father Dan Haugen there said, well, maybe you should talk to Deacon Joel Mahalik. And I said, okay, I will. And so he and I chatted, and then he said, well, let's get you into the Catechetical. And I said, okay, very well, very well. And so he got me in. I guess, he didn't have to write a letter of recommendation, I suppose. But he got me in my first class, or the first, after the opening mass and our introduction, they were introducing some of the key players. Father Williams, of course, was one. Father Klockman. And then they said, I'd like to introduce Deacon Joe Mahalik, who's the formation director of the diaconate program. And I went, oh. that's the guy.
Yeah.
And I've been talking to. And so, of course, you know, the Lord's, you know, nudges you in very, very different ways. So that's how I got in.
Okay.
Of my class, St. Teresa of Avila, who just graduated just recently, I was the only member of my church who was there. But I think, you know, as Father, you'd said earlier too, is that you begin to build a community.
Yeah.
My car would just continually drive on its own every Monday from St. Paul to Coon Rapids to the Epiphany. Mm-hmm. I just didn't, you know, it just went every Monday. Even after we graduated, I started finding myself going up there. But but you do. You build a community in the small groups, and some of the individuals are repeats in the small groups, but usually you get a new person, you know, new group. So, and for me, it turned out to be exactly what Father is saying. Is it's not so much the dogma, there are now two green monsters in my life. There's the green monster in Fenway,
yeah,
and there's the green monster of the catechetical, of the catechism,
the catechism book, itself, right?
It's not just about the book. It's about your encounters and really trying to encounter Jesus in your life through the people that he places in front of you.
Right.
And that's where it really hit me as being very, very beneficial. Definitely growing in my faith, definitely showing me a different road, a road that I had not expected, of course. It was not of my doing at all. And yeah, and I think that's basically what it is. The one thing that I will say, that two things that really hit me, having been widowed as well, was one was the life of prayer and the fact that St. Teresa of Avila was spoke of quite extensively in our prayer pillar, but also the sacrament of marriage. And it really hit me, and we had a wonderful marriage, almost 30 years. You know, just the two of us. We've never been married prior, etc. But the fact that we were bound together to save each other, and you know, to this day, I still believe that she's gone ahead to save me.
Yeah.
Because I needed the saving. That was one of the things that after she left, I said, "Oh boy, have I got a lot of catching up to do."
So, yes, I frequently recount how I think in my own marriage relationship that I'm here to give a more purgatorial experience for my wife, just so, you know, she can be saved more quickly that way. Right. Anyway, I love what you said, Michael, about specifically that it's not just about the dogma. And Father, you mentioned this too. It's not just about the dogma and the doctrine, the learning for learning's sake. It's certainly not that. But isn't that true, that the more that we encounter the truth, the more that we stretch our minds to try to even reach out and maybe grasp a tiny bit of God's truth, of eternal truth. It's all for the purpose of uniting us more closely with the Lord and with each other, with the community that's there. Father, back to you for a moment. What would you say, in case there happened to be some listeners listening in that thought, well, you know, maybe this is for me. What's good ways of telling, is this something that's for me?
Yeah, the first thing, I think it'd just be normal as you ask that question to be a little bit daunted by, God, can I really commit to every week, you know, for 2 years, obviously break for the summer, but I think that's normal. I think everyone's trying to ask the question, and I would just say, you know, take the first step and take the second step. What we find is that, and again, this is back to the truth point, is that our graduates are looking for the next thing.
Yeah.
Certainly how they can impact their parish, impact their workplace, their family, but also there's a hunger and thirst for the truth that sort of spark. There's a kind of new fascination with the things of the Spirit, and then they begin to sort of like, they're hungry. And so I would just say, don't be afraid. I mean, I know that's pretty basic, but I think it's really important not to let fear kind of govern your discernment, and certainly as Michael mentioned, maybe a conversation with your pastor, if he's, you know, you can approach him, or someone who knows you well that you kind of look up to in the faith, just to get their perspective on, and likely you're going to hear more encouragement than you'd expect, you know.
Yeah.
And, so just to take that step.
Right. And Michael, is that well? Let me ask you a little bit more. I know it's not a small task you're taking on when you take on the Catechetical Institute. No, it's rigorous. But there's obviously some fruit. What are some of the main fruits in your life?
Yeah, very good question. And to echo Father, you know, that's the first step, second step. Before you know it, you're standing at graduation after 2 years and you go, where did the time go?
Yeah.
Because it is so rich. And that was the one thing that I would say it would take away is that, you know, it may appear to be daunting, but once you get into it, the richness of our faith is just, it's so rich.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how else to describe it, but, you know, a lot of the fruits, I think, are a strengthening in faith, a strengthening in prayer, a strengthening maybe being involved in your parish a little bit more. I know that during this time, myself and another parishioner had, through the help of Father Dan Haugen and Deacon Joel Mahalik, we started a grief ministry for our church that two of us members who had multiple losses in our life, we got together, and now we've just launched it. Just kicking it off last Sunday, and getting volunteers within our church and people who are in need, you know, of support.
Right.
And so, you know, and it doesn't have to be that big. It can just be attending Mass even more. Maybe you start going to daily Mass. Maybe you start, you know, going to confession more. Maybe you just start talking about it in your family, and you just start what I really felt was one of the biggest things that I got out of it was you start living it.
Yeah, right.
Just start living it.
Right. Well, there's so many other questions I have. Unfortunately, because we have such a packed show today, we need to start winding down here. But actually, Michael, I'll go to you for one final question. Who would you say the CI is ideal for? I mean, who would you really encourage to take a moment and really seriously, prayerfully consider if this is something the Lord might be doing, asking them to do?
You know, I would say that those folks that have been in the church probably all their lives, in a way, you know, there are those Catholics who are cradle Catholics. There are those who are cafeteria Catholics. You can, you know, name all sorts. If you're just going through an RCIA program, it might be a little overwhelming, but you've been attending Mass. You get the routine. You understand it, but maybe there's a dryness there. Maybe there's something that is compelling you to do more.
Mm.
I would say you're a good candidate for the catechetical. And I would also say, and I would echo what Father said too, is that, you know, talk to somebody who's gone through it.
Right.
And, I'd be more than happy to talk to anybody about it. And the fruits that it has, you know, and how, you know, there are times when, you know, there's a certain teacher, what's his name, Father Williams, he speaks so well and eloquently, you fall asleep. No,
No,
I didn't say that out loud, did I? But but it's and that's what I would recommend, you know, is that anybody who has been maybe feeling they want more. There's always a desire in us to want more. I think that's not only just part of being Christian, but it's human.
Yeah. That's very good. And for those who are looking to find out more about it, you can go online to CI Student. So the letter C, the letter I, followed by the word student.com. Or you can call 651-962-5028. 962-5028. And you can find out all more about the program itself. Father Williams, back to you just for a final moment. Any words of encouragement that you would say about anything that you're particularly excited about for the upcoming year at the Catechetical Institute?
Well, you mentioned we're kind of branching out. We've actually done a pilot in conjunction with the Diocese of Des Moines, so that will be entering its second year.
Yeah.
And we're just really excited about what we're hearing from them. And So with anything, we're trying to make sure all this growth is measured,
right.
Don't stretch ourselves or lose the kind of core charism and vision. But really excited of even geographical, as you mentioned, it just gives people that much more of a less of an obstacle, you know, to say, hey, that's close enough to me, and I'd like to do that. So all those things are in our forefront and our thinking as we try to really use the Institute as a way to serve the local church, to serve our brothers and sisters.
That's wonderful. And Father, just before we sign off with you, would you be willing to give us an on-air blessing for us and all our listeners?
I'd be happy to, and I just want to thank you for having us on. Thank you for, just putting the good word out.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll do.
And through the intercession of our Mother Mary, may God's blessing descend upon you and all your listeners to this day and remain with you forever, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Amen. Peter Williams, Michael Lane, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thanks for having us.
We are going to be back after just a moment, and we're going to speak with Gene Stolpelsted, the director of the Archdiocesan Office of Marriage, Family, and Life. So stay with us.
Are you longing for a real relationship with Jesus? Do you desire to truly know Him?
Not just know about Him.
Then Lord Teach Me to Pray is for you.
Lord Teach Me to Pray is a prayer series based on the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola.
And it's here in our area.
A training retreat will be held on Saturday, July the 8th at the Carondelet Center in St. Paul.
Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com to register today.
In this exciting time of the new evangelization, each one of us are called by virtue of our baptism to share our faith at every opportunity.
What better way to prepare ourselves to do this than by deepening our own relationship with the Lord?
And Lord Teach Me to Pray will do just that.
Take this opportunity to come to know and love Jesus as never before.
And to help others do the same.
Come to the Lord Teach Me to Pray training retreat. Don't pass up this invitation.
Register today at LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Or call 504-439-5933.
Holding on to hope.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you, along with our producer, Susanna Boley, our technical producer, Paul Sadek. And we are speaking today, well, we just spoke about the Catechetical Institute, and now we are changing gears a little bit to talk about women's health. And specifically, we want to welcome to the phone right now, joining us at the over the phone, is Gene Stolpelsted, the Director of Marriage, Family, and Life with the Archdiocese. So, Gene, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Patrick. It's really nice to be with you today.
Well, it's great it's great to have you on. Thanks for being here. So I wanted to ask specifically, what is, I guess this isn't very specific. It's very broad brush. Just give us a snapshot of what the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life, I mean, that seems like a lot. I mean, so what is under your umbrella there?
We do carry quite a bandwidth.
Yeah.
The Office of Marriage, Family, and Life basically intersects with the family on every level. So anything that touches the heart of the family, we try to educate, support, and just really vitalize the family. We work with youth and youth ministry. We work with marriage and marriage prep, marriage enrichment, elder care, end-of-life issues, pro-life issues, political issues. You know, right now we're working against the legalization of euthanasia, physician-assisted suicide. So we're involved in anything that would compromise the family. Also, we're there basically, though. Our main mission is to be involved and really support and grow the family.
Wow. So what do you do on Tuesday? Oh my goodness! Wow. Well, yeah. Thank you so much for your
welcome.
Work that you all do there for the office.
You know,
and yeah, go ahead.
It's really. I was just going to say, it's really. We have a staff of basically four persons, but there is in every parish this army of incredible holy men and women that God is raising up, and just really concerned about these various issues. So it's really a joy to be able to work with our various parishes and the laity in our archdiocese. We are really, really blessed.
Right, right. Well, thanks be to God for that. Absolutely. Now, this half of the show, we're specifically focusing in on women's health. And as you may have heard, Veronica Yanchuk is in studio with us, and she'll be joining us in a bit. But I wanted to ask you specifically about an education event you sponsored recently, the office sponsored, for those interested in women's health, especially NFP providers and those who work in crisis pregnancy centers. Is that right? Can you give us a snapshot of what that event was about?
Sure. That was just last night, and we had Veronica come and speak to us about just about those various things. In our day and age right now, there's a lot of, to coin a phrase here, fake news.
Yeah, right.
About women's health and fertility. And a lot of times, women are really viewed, their fertility is viewed as something that's a negative part of their person.
Right.
And so the event last night was really to help women and physicians and couples to understand how beautiful women's fertility is and our sexuality and just who we are as persons, how valuable and beautiful that really is. And that women of themselves, you know, my husband always says, oh, yeah, you guys are such a mystery. But, you know, it's really a lovely thing to be a mystery, right?
Well, yeah.
And because we're made in the image and likeness of God. And so there is that sense of something that is just a little bit beyond knowing.
Mm-hmm.
However, in the event last night, Veronica did a great job of explaining and making known to us some of those wonderful things that help us to be co-collaborators with the Holy Spirit and bringing forth life.
Mm-hmm.
And what a wonderful thing that is. And to also kind of pinpoint science, you know, sometimes people think of NFP, it's a really bad rap. It says, you know, it's just, you know, a Catholic's way of having big families.
Yeah.
And that's not so. She really helped us to pinpoint some of those areas that show that women are not, it's not just about our fertility, but about our health and how by being aware of fertility cycles, we can know a lot about our bodies and be healthy. And sometimes in our culture today, particularly when we walk into a doctor's office, they don't always necessarily get right down into the nitty-gritty. And they are willing to prescribe something to treat a symptom, but never go deeper and find the resolution of what's at the root of this problem. And just being better aware of our bodies, we can figure that out. And it can help with things like that every woman is concerned about. Every woman is concerned about just their overall well-being, how their energy level, their the way they look, weight gain, even things like acne and later in life, premenopause and menopausal symptoms. Because our physicality is meant, it's not meant to be abnormal. We shouldn't be having huge difficulties in the scope or the life cycle of our fertility. And so Veronica just kind of pointed that out and helped us understand it a little bit better.
All right. So I'm just really praying that there is somebody who's flipping through the radio dial right now and heard these initials NFP, and maybe they just never heard it before. So can you just tell us a little bit, just define for us what natural family planning is all about, Jean?
Sure. It's natural family planning is really just kind of a general title for some of the scientific and natural and moral methods of family planning. And it helps us to understand, again, the fertility cycles of women. And it's really meant to help couples, married couples, to draw closer together, to be able to, as I mentioned, understand fertility and plan their families, and to even increase their spiritual life. Because the more that we understand the person that we love, the more that we love them. And so it is, again, it's just to help us understand and grow closer to our spouses and to our God and how He created us. So again, very, very broad,
yeah.
definition, but it is the natural, scientific, and moral methods used in family planning.
Right, that have all to do about the body's natural cycles and that sort of
thing. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's not anything that is artificial.
Right.
So you wouldn't put anything foreign in your body, whether it be a device or a chemical or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally using the way God made you and understanding that.
Right, right. And certainly with the increased interest that, or ever-increasing interest that our society seems to have in going organic, it seems like this would make a lot of sense to those types of folks that, instead of introducing all these hormones and chemicals and devices in our in bodies to affect our fertility, why not just take a look at the natural cycle that God has given us, right?
So. Right, right. And it's so helpful in other things. I mean, any woman who walks into a clinic, one of the first questions they're asked is, well, when was your last menses, or when was,
right.
Are you pregnant?
Are you pregnant, right.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of women are thinking, well, let me think. Maybe, I don't know, because they don't know their bodies. So some of the very simplest things about who we are as persons, most women don't even know. And that's sad.
Yeah.
And they view it as something that is difficult. Their femininity is somehow a plague or a difficulty. And it's not. It's wonderful.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually, how we're... Specifically, it seems like due to a whole number of factors, including probably most prevalently the hypersexuality of our culture today, but we almost see that fertility is something that we need to subdue, that we need to control, and we need to get on top of to the very best of our ability using any means necessary. When
right.
What I hear you saying, Jean, though, is that as we learn to cooperate together with it and receive it as a gift from God, whole new vistas open up.
That's correct.
Yeah, it seems like it's something that there's no longer, you know, this kind of, there's no fear, there's no nervousness, there's no anxiety about what may be happening, what might happen, this, that, and the other. But it's an entering into a sort of peace with one's body and therefore peace with the Lord.
Absolutely. And when a contraceptive mentality is afraid of things not yet happened.
Say that again.
A contraceptive mentality is a fear of things that have not yet happened.
I like it.
And NFP mentality is an awareness and a joy of what is.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that sounds right on, dead on. And one of the things, just speaking as a married man, that I want to underscore specifically about natural family planning is that it involves the husband. It's not just the woman on her own figuring this stuff out, you know, and the husband's kind of a casual onlooker. But there's
right.
an active role that the husband takes in this. And as you already mentioned, it draws people together.
Right. And, you know, that's... I love that. Thank you for mentioning that, Patrick, because that is really, really key. In the past, it was always seen as a woman's job to be in charge of her fertility and raising the children. And,
right.
you know, there was a lot of difficulties surrounding marriage because of that particular situation and the way the family was viewed. But natural family planning draws the husband in from the beginning, and it's a shared responsibility right from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
And there is sometimes that contraceptive mentality is promoted. The fake news surrounding it will say that it frees a woman so
right.
that she can be in control.
Yeah.
Well, that's not necessarily true, right? What it does is it separates the husband or the man from any responsibility.
Right.
Towards a family.
In a sense, it enslaves the woman to being the... She's all the more subject to her fertility in ways that she didn't even maybe previously think of.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, fascinating. So, Jean, just one final question for you. If people
sure.
are interested in learning more about all the resources that you provide, the services that you oversee as part of the Marriage, Family, and Life, is there a way that they can check out online what you're up to?
No. Yeah, absolutely. There is on our website, archspm.org, and then click on Marriage Family Life and enter in the search box NFP.
NFP, and there's all sorts of resources there.
There's tons of resources. There's schedules of classes. All of the different providers in the Archdiocese are listed, and there's articles and helplines, and if you're interested at all, we can make sure that you get connected.
That's wonderful. Jean Stoppel said, thank you so much for joining us on the program this morning.
Wonderful to be with you, Patrick. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Okay, so turning now, just right on the heels of that, I want to welcome to the studio Veronica Yanchuk, who works for FEM in New York, but she is in town, in part at least, because of that event that Jean was just talking about last night. Good morning, Veronica.
Good morning, Patrick. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you on the program. It's great to meet face-to-face. We've spoken over the phone before, but it's good to see you right here in the studio. So tell us, first of all, a little bit more about FEM, the F-E-M-M, yeah, the institute that you work for.
Sure. So FEM is an acronym for a women's healthcare project. It stands for Fertility Education and Medical Management. And we're a three-tiered women's health program. First, we provide women with 3.5 hours of education classes that focus on learning how to chart with the understanding that a woman's ovulation is the most vital sign of her health.
Mm-hmm.
So the cycle pattern a woman has is an indicator of whether or not she's healthy. And then, of course, whether or not she's fertile. So there is a fertility application included. We have a free iPhone app women can download and use. The Android version and Spanish versions are forthcoming. And finally, we train medical providers in a revolutionary set of medical protocols that allow doctors to precisely diagnose and treat the underlying causes of hormonal abnormalities, which cause symptoms from infertility to even more basically acne or weight gain, anxiety, depression, and have three physicians trained in those protocols in the cities now.
In the Twin Cities?
Yes.
Wow, excellent. If somebody wants to seek out one of those physicians, how do they find one of those physicians?
Two of them will be listed on our website, the remainder forthcoming. So
okay.
Dr. April Lind is in Maple Grove, Martha Guzman and Amy Fisher in Eagan.
Wow. Well, that's I'm impressed with. It seems like things are going well. How long has FEM been around?
Oh, that's a good question. We have a very interesting and layered history, but basically we started to train physicians in the fall of 2013.
Okay.
So we're going on 4 years of training providers both in the U.S. and abroad.
Wow. Yeah, excellent. And just out of curiosity, how did you get involved with FEM?
I first came across, actually, FEM's umbrella organization.
Mm-hmm.
FEM is a project of a nonprofit called the World Youth Alliance, which
okay.
was founded to defend the dignity of the human person in legal advocacy questions and in education projects. And FEM is one of those projects that we propose to the world as a solution to different kinds of violations of human dignity, to which in many ways I think Jean was referring to.
Right.
When a woman is forced, for example, or kind of pressured to use contraception without understanding, especially without understanding the deep consequences that use can have on her health, I think in one form or another that would be considered a violation of her dignity.
Mm-hmm.
Women deserve the best care the way that anybody deserves the best care.
Amen to that. Yeah, certainly. Okay, so I'm just intrigued, and I'd like to know a little bit more about. Well, maybe specifically, talk to me as if I know you're gonna have to stretch your imagination here. But talk to me as if I'm a married man, and I want to know more about my wife's cycle. My wife, how can I be a better husband to her in terms of that? We started talking about it with Jean, but talk to us a little bit more about. How does the whole charting and the understanding of a woman's hormonal and fertility cycle, how does that enhance a relationship, a marriage relationship?
Sure. So I think there are a few different levels at work. The first is with a basic understanding of our person. We're not just souls and we're not just bodies, but we're integrated.
Right.
And we're so integrated, the union is so intrinsic, that if you affect one part, it will have consequences on the other.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, something as basic as emotional trauma manifests itself in changes in the body, and then also things like affecting or disrupting natural hormonal activity will then have an impact on a woman's emotions, on her brain, etc. So if a man loves his wife and desires the best for her, then fundamentally he will desire that integration. And maintaining it and maximizing it. And then on a sort of more immediate level, I think what natural family planning requires in the way that contraception doesn't is a sort of constant openness to and transparency about health and fertility, about sex and children. Yeah. And so what I think necessarily happens in a couple that is strong in their union is a deep growth in intimacy and a learning to sacrifice for one another and a sort of very authentic and healthy prioritizing of the sort of true, you could say, goods in marriage, the things that are most important in marriage. And that is the health of both individuals, the health of the marriage, the openness to life as God desires it for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just to bring that back into the picture a bit, to just in saying that, you know, this is, again, it's not only about us building a better relationship between husband and wife, but it is doing so as God intended, and seeing that there is, as you've already mentioned, an innate dignity to each of us as individuals, but also in our marriage. I mean, it's a sacramental bond that's formed there. So tell us a little bit more about, are there specific ways, obviously that's a lot right there and then, but are there specific ways that FEM and the programs that you provide that makes FEM different, that sets them apart from conventional medical management systems, specifically when it comes to women's health?
Well, with the medical component, certainly. Yeah. What the medical protocols do, in one sense, they're very revolutionary, and in some sense, they are also very commonsensical. What they do is they combine all of this research that has been done by what is now a relatively small field of reproductive endocrinologists or doctors whose specialty lies in hormonal health. And they lay out sort of very specific and concise decision-making tree, so that when a doctor does blood work on a woman, he or she is able to take a look at those exact numbers specific to any individual woman's body and ask the question, why is this hormone disrupted? Or why are you seeing this symptom? But it's not until a doctor does that very careful first blood work, but then also figures out kind of the ordering of the hormones, is he or she able to identify the primary disturbance. And that's going to be different in each woman, even if they have the same kind of symptom or the same kind of disruption in their charting, for example. And only then will he be able to give a medical treatment plan that will help return a woman to health, to normal, instead of assuming, you know, that a sort of mass prescription of something like birth control, which maybe alleviates some symptoms, and on the other hand, it also causes new symptoms.
Right, sure.
And can lead to really deep underlying long-term consequences.
Right. And there's a comprehensive part about that, that if I'm understanding you correctly, then this is not just about family planning. It is about that, but it's also about, it's a window into the entirety, or at least a vast majority of women's health.
Yes. Yeah. For women and for doctors who understand the biological component, it's very, very clear that the design of the woman's body is such that for a large period of her life, her health and her fertility are sort of one. That a woman's health requires that she be ovulating regularly, for example. But then, of course, if a woman is ovulating, she's fertile. And so that's the medical link that the research is demonstrating more and more clearly, that when you really impair, for whatever reason, a woman's fertility, you're almost definitely impairing her health.
So which the obvious takeaway here is that women, whether they're sexually active or not, whether they're in a married relationship or not, they should be aware of their fertility cycles. They should be charting.
Yes, yeah? Exactly. The head of our research institute estimates that only 3% of women around the world are able to identify their
what percentage?
Actual three.
3%.
It's an incredibly tiny number. What it demonstrates for us is a massive, massive failure on behalf of the medical community to provide women with the info that they need to be healthy.
I'm just stunned. I mean, you can see it on my face, but yeah. Just for the sake of our listener, 3% of yes. women are charting actively.
Some women, depending on the charting method, may be able to identify some indicators of fertility, but to identify precisely whether or not based on my pattern, I've actually ovulated, the head of our research institute says 3%. 3 out of 100. It's crazy.
Well, I guess it's job security for you then, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. We've got a lifetime of growth.
Yeah, exactly. To come wow.
For femme.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I certainly want to thank you for being on the program, but tell us again if women or men want to find out more about FEM and all the services that you provide, where can they go?
Sure. So the Office of Marriage and Family Life here in the Archdiocese
right.
will have resources with regards to teachers and doctors here in the cities. But besides that, women can log on to FEMHealth.org on the web, and they'll be able to find more info about classes, et cetera, there.
Oh, wonderful. Veronica Yanchuk, thank you so much for joining us on the program
this
morning.
Thanks for having me, Patrick.
It's been a great morning with a lot of different things that we've talked about, and I'm kind of overwhelmed. I think I need to go home and debrief after this. But we're going to come back, Paul and I, with some events. So stay with us.
I'm Steve Smith with Modern Roadways. We've fixed, replaced, and seal-coated driveways and parking lots for Relevant Radio listeners for years. Along with my dad, Ed, and our family crew, we continue to have our A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Our blacktop patching can save your driveway or parking lot. We do what's called skin patching. First, we clean the area and apply a tack coat so the new will hold to the old. Next, we patch over the present surface using its strength and durability. Skin patching is one-third the cost of excavation patching, so we can cover 3 times as much area for the same cost, getting all present potholes as well as areas that will be potholes in the next few months. Now the rest of the story. We offer a $100 discount to Relevant Radio listeners who give us the go-ahead on repair projects of $1,000 or more. Modern Roadways, 763-545-1777.
It's time for our community events calendar, and that means we get to hear the wonderful tones of Paul Sadek.
Well, you get to hear the tones.
Wonderful.
Be part of the new evangelization in our archdiocese by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Sign up to join in the mission. Send the text message proclaiming to 84576 or go to rediscover-faith.org and sign up for evangelization updates.
The Office of Vocations encourages youth ages 12 to 17 to consider Quo Vadis summer camps coming up in July. Each camp will run Sunday night through Wednesday and will be a great experience to discover God's will with lots of fun and recreation. For more information, visit 10,000vocations.org. That's 10,000vocations.org.
Actually, one more zero.
Did I miss one?
You missed one.
Yeah, for
10,000. That's one and
four zeros. We struggled with this last week, too.
Yeah, we did. Okay. No, I guess you got it right. Relevant Radio listeners are invited to the Cathedral of St. Paul for a special guided behind-the-scenes tour. Date for this has moved from Wednesday, June 21st, will now be on Thursday, June 22nd. Lunch and special presentation will be included. It's free, courtesy of Catholic United Financial. You must RSVP. Call 612-643-4121 to reserve a spot for you and your family and friends. That number again, 612-643-4121.
All young adults ages 18 to 39 are invited to come to the Summer 2017 Theology on Tap series to join in mixing good beer with better knowledge. Connect with others for an evening of food, fellowship, and faith at O'Gara's in St. Paul this Wednesday, June 21st, to hear from Dale Ahlquist with the American Chesterton Society speak on Chesterton's Holy Hilarity. Social hours from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m., and Dale begins at 7:30. For more information, visit the events page on archspm.org.
Are you looking to rediscover your Catholic faith, or do you know someone who is thinking about becoming Catholic? Join the Cathedral of St. Paul for Introducing Catholicism. It's an informal introduction to the breadth and depth of the Catholic faith through Bishop Robert Barron's acclaimed Catholicism series. It's Wednesdays from 7 to 8:30 p.m. starting June 21st through August 30th. We'll view an episode featuring a different aspect of the Catholic faith, have a brief discussion afterward. No registration or previous participation necessary. Just come. For more information, visit cathedralstpaul.org or call that guy over there,
yeah,
Patrick,
that's
at 651-357-1340.
You are invited to the 2017 Archdiocesan Rural Life Sunday on June 25th, hosted at the Byron and Judy Dahlheimer Family Farm in Center City, Minnesota. Mass with Archbishop Hebda will be celebrated at 2 p.m. with a country meal following. There will be live music, dancing, kids' activities, and games. A free will offering will be gratefully accepted. Some seating will be provided, but please bring your own lawn chairs. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org.
And bring your grandchildren on a faith and freedom pilgrimage to the Cathedral of St. Paul. Tuesday, June 27th, 1 to 3 p.m., you're invited to bring your grandchildren to experience an up-close view of the sanctuary, altar, bishop's chair, archbishop's chair, chapels, and shrines. Find out more. Visit the events page at CatholicGrandparenting.com. And what's up next week?
Next week, Alyssa Bormes is going to be here in the hosts. Yeah, fine. You get to get rid of me, right?
She's going to be. I like Alyssa.
So do I. She's going to be joined with speaker and author Callie Schneider, who'll be speaking at the next Women, Wine, and Wisdom event, speaking on Truffles from Heaven, The Sweet Taste of Grace. Until then, folks, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.